Thank you for your attention. I'm Dan Gibbons, and I'd like to welcome you to City Club today. On behalf of our Board of Governors, and our former chair is here with us, Jackie Robinson Ivey. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jackie. Welcome to City Club, and welcome back to City Club to so many of you. We have a great program today. We've had a busy week. We've had a busy month, and we're really on a roll here at City Club, and you can tell that by the folks that are in the room. We're attracting some incredible people here, not only on the stage, but in these seats, and you all are the people in the city that make things happen. So know that your presence here is appreciated. Your membership is even more so appreciated. Keep coming. There's a lot to talk about in our city, state, and beyond. So we appreciate you all. This is your club. And it's our sponsors really helped make this possible. So I want to say a special thanks to the Coalition of African American Leaders, COAL, C-O-A-L. Of course, the Office of the Clerk of the Cook County Clerk of Circuit Court. And Haymarket Center. Thank you to Haymarket Center. And we have a number of elected officials in the room. We've got Cook County Commissioner Tara Stamps is here. Commissioner, welcome back. Cook County Commissioner Frank Aguilar is here. Great to see you, sir. And I know we have at least three judges. The presiding judge of the Traffic Division, Diane Marsalek, is here. Judge Tom Sienis is here. Please say hello to your father and your brother, Bill, on behalf of the City Club. We love your family. Maybe next time we'll see if they could do some food for the lunch. Not that the chicken isn't top-notch. Joseph Fitzgerald is here, trustee from Riverside. As is Calvin, thank you. As is Calvin Jordan from Rich Township. Mike Cavanaugh, Judge Mike Cavanaugh, great friend of the City Club and so many in this room. Every one of us, we're all doing great things. We've got businesses, we've got philanthropy, we've got government, we've got some recovering government workers. So thank you, everyone, for your public service. That's what I like to call myself sometimes. Public service is so important to making this city work and making this county and this state what it is. And our guest today is really she's the definition of that. I mean, she's from Chicago Public Schools to Loyola to UIC, John Marshall Law School, State's Attorney's Office, MWRD, and now clerk of the courts for Cook County. Our guest speaker is the definition of a Chicagoan who is dedicated to public service. Lifelong Chicagoan that we're so proud to have sharing our stage here at City Club. She's an environmental advocate. She's a lawyer, an expert in finance, as you'll probably hear about, and good government at that. And a City Club speaker, past and current. So please enjoy the rest of your lunch and join me in welcoming Clerk of the Circuit Court for Cook County, Mariana Spiropoulos. Welcome back to City Club. And she's joined today by her husband, Paul, by the way.
A huge round of applause for Paul. Thank you. Thank you so much, Dan. Thank you for that very kind introduction. Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me in the back? All right. Thank you, Dan. Thank you for the chance to share some exciting things happening at the Office of the Clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County. I'm Mariana Spiropoulos, and yes, it rhymes with metropolis. All right. And I am thrilled to be here. I welcome the opportunity to talk about something I care about deeply, public trust in government, and the role my office plays in strengthening that trust. As you know, I was sworn in as clerk on December 1st, 2024, and it has been a busy, energizing, and purposeful few months. Today, I want to talk about what my office does, why it matters more than people often realize, and what I have done so far to build an office that works for the people that it serves. So, let's add some context. The clerk's office was established in 1831. It's not a history lesson. Initially, the office was basic administrative maintenance of case records and collection of court fees, some of the things that we still do today. But in 1964, an amendment to the Illinois Constitution reorganized the courts in Illinois to merge overlapping jurisdictions. The merger included combining 161 courts into one cohesive court jurisdiction. That's when multiple divisions were created, such as civil, criminal, and probate, just to name a few. And that eventually became one of the nation's largest unified court systems. So what does the clerk of the circuit court do? The truth is that the clerk's office is one of the most important and oftentimes misunderstood parts of the court system. When you walk into a courtroom, a lot of people notice a judge. They'll notice the lawyers. Maybe they notice the jury. But not as often the court clerk. Opa. Okay. The clerk has a very specific and powerful responsibility, and that is to record what happens in the courtroom. It's not the judge. It's not the attorneys. It's the court clerk. The clerk doesn't argue aside. The clerks are the silent witness to the history that takes place in that courtroom. They're impartially recording the proceedings that impact the lives of those who come through our courts of justice. In a democracy, that matters. When I first started out as an assistant state's attorney in the courtroom, I was advised to respect the court clerk. I was advised that respecting a court clerk would make my life easier, or it could make it more difficult. The choice was up to me, and I can say that I chose the path of respect. I recognize the hard work that the clerks played in getting that court call rolling, especially if you have 100 cases on a court call. But now that I am the clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County, and I see behind the scenes all of the hard work that the clerks do, I can say that my respect was well placed. Imagine if the prosecutor, I was a prosecutor, was going to write the court history. Or imagine if the defense attorney was going to write that court history. The clerk is impartial. The record is maintained. So justice is not only served, but documented fairly and accurately. My office is the official record keeper of that impartial record that helps ensure a just system. So let's talk scale. Cook County is one of the largest counties in the country, larger than 28 states. And as a result, we have one of the largest unified court systems in the world. More than 1 million civil and criminal cases are filed each year. My office staffs over 400 courtrooms, and we support 6 municipal districts. We employ 1,400 people. By the way, I made a promise that I would meet every employee in my office to begin my term. And after 30 visits over the last 6 months, I have met that promise. With a $140 million budget, we process more than $100 million in fines and fees every year. We don't get to keep that money. My staff connects those funds back to municipalities and police departments and other agencies that rely on that funding for local services. But more important than that, more important than the numbers, are the people that make that happen. Most of the individuals who interact with the court system, especially for traffic tickets, evictions, court orders, don't have attorneys. They don't have representation, and they may never speak to a judge. In fact, we have approximately 32,000 individuals per month who enter our office for assistance who are not represented by an attorney. But they do interact with the clerk of the Circuit Court of Cook County. They interact with our frontline workers, our website, our phone lines, and that is why this role matters so much. How we show up as a government office is often how people experience government firsthand. When I decided to run, it was because I believed that the clerk's office could be doing more and serving better. I believed that this office could operate with more transparency, more accountability, and accessibility. This office has not always had the best track record, and I knew that I could change that. In these first few months, I have worked with my team to begin putting that vision into action. So, at this time, allow me to introduce the winning team, the executive team that is making it happen, starting with our senior policy advisor, Craig Wimberly. Our general counsel, James Chandler. Chief of Staff, Mike Chicho. Chief Human Resources Officer, Chad Gearing. Chief Information Officer, Vivek Ananda. Executive Clerk of External Affairs, Rowida Zatar. Executive Clerk of Court Operations, Renee Banks. Chief Financial Officer, Tahani Hill. Inspector General, Katerina Dracova. And Executive Assistant to the Clerk, Daniel Rood. Thank you, guys. So today I am proud to share with you what we've been up to. So let's start with transparency. We launched the first ever public-facing Clerk of the Circuit Court data dashboard. For the first time, residents, researchers, journalists, advocates, general public can go to our website and search 5 years of case filing data, starting with 2020. This is a work in progress, and we plan to add to the dashboard in the future. So if you have a data point that you think that we should include in this data dashboard, please let us know. We want it to be something that serves the public. You can filter by area of law, court location or branch. You can see what's happening in our courtrooms division by division. And this is a tool not just for transparency, but for accountability as well. I also appointed a public access director to ensure our office is responsive to record requests. Also, that we're following both the letter and spirit of the law when it comes to open government. And we overhauled our employee handbook so that the expectations we set internally match the standards that we hold ourselves to. So let's talk accountability. One of the first things I did was launch a countywide customer service survey. Anybody can take it. I wanted to hear directly from the people that we serve, what's working, what's not, and how can we do better. The feedback has been incredibly helpful, and my staff and I have been using it to guide improvements across the board. We also created an in-house customer service training program. Remember I mentioned self-represented litigants? We want to make sure that our staff are solutions-oriented. Every employee, including myself and my executive team, has gone through it. Because no matter what title you have, if you work in this office, you're serving the public. That means showing up with professionalism, empathy, and solutions-oriented mindset. I initiated a comprehensive internal control audit to strengthen financial oversight, ensure proper stewardship of public resources, This will identify inefficiencies and address process gaps. And I know Ms. Hill and her team have been working diligently to make sure that that happens. We appreciate that. I also appointed an independent inspector general and adopted a new ethics policy. As part of the policy, I made a commitment not to take campaign contributions from my employees. We also set up an anonymous portal for staff to report their concerns. So this office is going to operate with integrity. As you may expect, I focused on improving the efficiency of operations. So we are retraining our court clerk trainers. And as a key part of this, we are identifying the most efficient computer screen clerks we'll use to enter court orders into the electronic docket. Our court clerk trainers will then retrain the 400-plus court clerks. And this will ensure consistency and accuracy. We want to make sure there's consistency and accuracy of the court record and improve the time for accessibility for judges' orders online. We are reassigning and rebalancing staff as needed. For example, we're reducing staff in our bond rooms since the Safety Act has significantly reduced the number of bonds my office has to process. We are also assessing the number of e-filings by division and district and adjusting the staff to areas with high-volume e-filing. I have commissioned backlog reports that provide me with a window into operational areas that may be falling behind in their daily workload so that we can make staffing adjustments. We want to make those adjustments as needed before a minor issue becomes a major problem for customers. So from day one, I focused on meeting all clerk of the court statutory obligations. This includes any that were outstanding. So to this end, I am proud to report that we corrected and generated quarterly statistical reports to the AOIC for 2023 and 2024, and we're caught up through 2025. We have corrected daily child protection case file downloads to the Department of Child and Family Services. We have corrected automated disposition reporting to the Secretary of State. We are ensuring that all expungements processed over the past couple of years were successfully transmitted to the Illinois State Police and other law enforcement agencies. We are identifying, indexing, and filing boxes of case documents across all of our operational areas to ensure that all case activity is available to judges, attorneys, and self-represented litigants. We are also reestablishing the leadership role my office plays in working with our justice partners to implement interagency initiatives and legislative changes, such as transferring the electronic monitoring program from the Sheriff's Office to the Chief Judge Adult Probation Department, and the implementation of Karina's Law. These types of efforts have a significant impact on the court forms that support court case activity. In case you didn't know, my office develops, modifies, and maintains many of these forms that reflect decisions made in the courtroom every day. And finally, let's talk about accessibility. I've taken real steps to make this office easier to interact with and ease the burden on those having to deal with the office. We hosted the first Amnesty Week that this office had in 5 years. Amnesty Week helps residents pay outstanding traffic fines without additional collection fees. We launched an online record center. And that record center is going to allow people to request archived court records, contracts, and data without needing to come into our office. Although it shouldn't be revolutionary in 2025, we rolled out a mobile app. And that lets you search your case, find a courtroom from your phone. And on each of your tables is the QR code for you to be able to download that app, along with the 25,000 other people that have already done that. We're also expanding our language access service and now offer website translations in 50 languages so that language is never a barrier to accessing justice. We are preparing to launch e-citation and e-plea tools. That's going to let people handle their traffic tickets online, whether that means paying a fine, entering a plea or requesting a court date. So let's look forward. We're working on a strategic plan to bring the office into the 21st century and be prepared for new developments of courts of the future. We're working on a will depository where you'd have the option to file your will with our office. We're developing an attorney hub on our website where attorneys would be able to change their address, apply for a county attorney number, as well as other services. Again, if you have ideas on what could be useful for attorneys, please let us know. We are creating advisory groups. We want to hear from people on our customer base, basically. So, judges, let us know what we can do for you. We're creating an attorney advisory group. We are creating an access to justice group. So if you have community groups that work in the access to justice space, you think that they would have interesting input, useful input for us, please let us know. We'd like to invite them to the table as well. We want to create a domestic violence advisory group as well. All of this reflects one belief, that the justice system should work for the people and especially for those who need it most. Socrates once said, "The secret of change is to focus all your energy not on fighting the old, but on building in the new." That is what we have been doing every day at the clerk's office, building something better. We're not pointing fingers at the past. We are putting in the work to deliver results in the present. So, in closing, I want to say this. Public trust is built on how we serve someone who walks into our office, who may be confused or overwhelmed. Public trust is built on whether we answer the phones, whether we're able to assist someone who comes into our office. Public trust is built on whether the information we provide online is clear. Whether the system is fair and navigable for someone who doesn't have a lawyer or access to resources, that is how you build public trust. I believe that this office can set the tone. We can set the tone for how government should work, not with bureaucracy and excuses, but with openness and empathy. Those who know me in my career know that I'm about good government and serving the people. I believe that this work is more important now than ever before. At a time when the role of government institutions is being questioned, at a time when the fundamental institutions of our civic life are being assaulted by some of the very people entrusted to lead it, it's essential now more than ever that we show the public what good government looks like. Competence matters, customer service matters, integrity matters, and we should expect it. Perhaps this office doesn't always grab the headlines, and that's okay, except maybe today. Oftentimes, local government may not always grab the headlines, but it is often the last line of trust between people and justice, let alone democracy. This office has a responsibility to make that trust worth something. I believe that I have a responsibility to make that trust worth something. And this is just the beginning. I hope that you'll be part of this effort with us going forward. If you have ideas, we want to hear them. If you're a partner or an advocate, we want to work with you. And if you are a resident who's ever been frustrated by how the system works, we want you to know that we hear you and we're doing something about it. I am proud of the work that we've done so far, but I'm even more excited for what's ahead. Let me leave you with an excerpt from the Athenian Oath. Yes, another Greek. This was an oath taken by individuals in ancient Athens when they were going to become a citizen. And in part, it said that we're going to transmit this city not less, but greater and more beautiful than it was transmitted to us. So, collectively, all in our own capacities, let's transmit a better society, a better government, a better democracy than was transmitted to us. Thank you for this opportunity to share this information with you today. Thank you, everyone. good timing?
Oh, perfect.
Okay. So where do you want me to do?
Absolutely, yeah, if you would. You up for a couple questions?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Thank you, Madam Clerk. That was excellent. I have a couple of questions here from the audience. I have one or two of my own. We've got a couple of minutes. But I actually would like to see if anyone in the audience has a question. We do have a microphone here because I know we have such a very engaged audience. So I do see a couple of folks. And well, is Caleb around? No. I'll bring this out in a second. But while I do that, excuse me, I'm sorry that I didn't recognize a gentleman who's a legendary public servant in Chicago and in Cook County in Illinois, Larry Sufferton. Welcome back to City Club, Commissioner. It's great to have you here. The city's built on so many public servants and so many folks that dedicate their lives to that. So always important to recognize that. I'm going to pass this mic back. If you could raise your hand, and I'll come over, and if you please introduce yourself and ask your question. Sounds like it works.
Good afternoon. My name is Aisha Muhammad. I am the Cook County Drug Court Liaison for Haymarket Center. And as you know, we work with several different courts trying to get treatment for people who have the disease of addiction. Mm-hmm. Will we be able, in this app that you have now, be able to look up information in reference to Cook County Drug Court clients? Or the program's peers, judges, court dates, or anything? And this was excellent. I'm really happy I got a chance to see this.
If we don't have that accessibility now, we will. Yes. I got great. Mr. Ananda, who's the head of MIS. He's taking notes right now.
All right. I'm in the middle of the room here doing a Phil Donahue.
Hi, I'm Elaine Romascuni, and I'm with Misericordia Home. I serve on one of the boards. And Mariana, I wanted to ask you, where do you see the courts in 5 years? Because I know you're looking ahead. Thank you.
Thank you for that question. So I know that we all throw around AI because it sounds like we're on top of things and we're modern if we say that. I'm not sure everybody knows what the long-term impact of AI is going to be on the workforce, on humanity. But I think there's going to be a component of that, and that's going to be part of our strategic plan. Digitizing, we have millions of files. You saw the photo of the warehouse. You should, you know, if you get a chance to ever go in there, you should go in there. We've got documents going back to the 1800s, so you can imagine, let's say, a million cases per year times how many decades is a lot of files. So we want to digitize all that in case there's any problems. So digitizing, modernizing, making sure our system with the state's attorney, public defender, sheriff's office, Cook County, other courthouses is all in sync. It is a little bit, but there could be improvements in that. So streamlining that, probably streamlining our services as we modernize. So I think a greater role of technology and then reallocating staff with regards to that.
Great. Oh, there is one back here.
And our intention is to put out an annual report at the end of the year. So we've got the progress report for the first 6 months. We'll have an annual report at the end of the year and then also a strategic plan. So we'll be sharing that.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Joan Clay. I run a nonprofit. We do pro bono legal services. One of our struggles has been, and I hate to be negative, but the Odyssey system. Mm-hmm. Has there been any research or any surveys on how the users are with this system, and are there any plans to maybe explore other e-filing systems?
It's a great question. Yes, there are some challenges regarding Odyssey. You're not the first to voice that. I'm not gonna lie and tell you that it's a perfect system. We didn't choose it. It was sort of inherited. And we're looking at all options. There are funding restrictions, but it's not, you know, to say that we can't. We're always looking at any option to improve that. So. but we recognize that there are challenges with that.
I have one or two here. The audience reacted very much when you talked about the will
depository. Yes.
That's something I just have never thought about or heard about. Could you tell us more about that? I find that interesting.
Sure. So there are about 7 or 8 states in the United States that currently have will depositories. This is something that we're working with the Office of the Chief Judge on. And so the idea came from, there are individuals that will write their will, how they want their estate distributed, and then they'll put it under a mattress, or they'll put it in the coffee can, or some other hidden place somewhere in the house. And when it's time to know what the intention of the decedent is, nobody can find it. So they don't know what to do, and that can cause lots of problems. Maybe not some actors that shouldn't be involved, maybe get involved. So our probate division is very on top of things, very organized. Why not create a space where individuals could come while they're still around? I mean, you always have the option to go to an attorney, but if you don't want to do that, write your will, file it with us. Who is the executor of your estate? And, you know, we'll be entrusted to hold on to that. So, yeah, we're going to go to Springfield and get legislation developed for that. So.
Yeah, that's seemingly so simple of a concept, but I'm shocked it hasn't happened. And I will just side note, if you'll allow me, my grandmother died at 84 years old, and her will was on a piece of cardboard. She worked at Fannie Mae Candy for 54 years, and the cardboard that splits the two-tiered of the meltaways.
Yeah.
She hand wrote her will in pencil on that piece of cardboard, and we found it under her couch. So it was not much of a mistake, but we figured it out. That is a great way of making government work for everybody, right? I have two questions here. One is from Gerald Jones. And you did talk a little bit about this, but electronic filing can be challenging for many. What assistance is available to filers in the clerk's office?
What assistance is there for?
Yeah, what assistance is available to filers in the clerk's office for electronic filing?
So we have our call center. We do have individuals that are available to assist with e-filing for individuals. So, you know, if there's a specific situation that someone is facing, they can call our office and they'll walk them through the process. Yep.
I have a question about you. Can I ask about you?
You've
we talk about public service all the time. You don't necessarily grab headlines. You've done that at MWRD, you know, and really transformed a lot that's going on there. You've already transformed a lot that's going on here. Mm-hmm. Are you looking to keep moving and transforming other operations? You seem to be pretty good at it.
Do I?
There's a lot that needs help around these parts.
Okay. I'm looking to do a great job at the clerk of the circuit court's office.
Is that it?
Yeah.
That's it, huh?
Yeah. That's the answer.
Well, I really, and you're sticking to it. Okay, you heard it here, folks, at City Club. And you said so much today that gels with everything that we're doing here at City Club. Non-bias, the path of respect. I took some notes. I mean, integrity, accessibility. These are all hugely important things that weren't necessarily baked into the fabric of civic life and government in Chicago and Cook County and Illinois. And now it's not about fighting the old. It's about, what did you say, building the new.
Yes.
You know, which is admirable what you've done, what you're doing. I took some notes on some things we're going to try to do here at City Club.
Good. Okay.
So thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I'd like to welcome all of you back. We've got a couple of programs coming up. Revitalizing Historically Disinvested Communities is on July 9th with BMO's CEO and and United Way. And then Brookfield Zoo, Chicago, is a new era for wildlife and conservation on July 23rd. And sticking with that theme for the summer, we're going to have a watershed moment with the Shedd Aquarium as they celebrate momentum for their strategic plan on August 20th. So we're touching all sorts of topics here at City Club. We welcome you all back anytime. Madam Clerk, it was an honor to have you here today. Thanks so much for that inspiration. Thank you. Enjoy the rest of the summer day.